B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, The Fanatic.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking baseball here on 97.5, The Fanatic, with the man who was at the All-Star game last night, obviously. Was he at the All-Star game last night? We have some problems? We have some travel problems with our man? Oh, let's find out what these are. Anyway, Jason Stark joins us on these lovely Wednesdays and sometimes other days. He's brought to us by Xfinity. Stay connected during the biggest moments of every game with Xfinity Internet, delivering reliably fast speeds, even during peak hours when everyone's online. Learn more at Xfinity.com. And the man who covers the Major League Baseball scene like no other, he's going into the Hall of Fame in just a little bit, next week, in fact, with the J.G. Spink Award. He is Jason Stark. Jason, what happened with the All-Star game?
Mike, I did get there. It wasn't easy. Just to give you a little taste of my travel plans, I was in three different airports that I didn't fly in or out of. My luggage went to a fourth airport, which was not Cleveland.
Oh, no!
I boarded two flights and didn't fly on either of them, and neither of them was going to Cleveland. It was that kind of trip. I wound up renting a car and driving because
from where?
It wasn't working out for me.
From where did you drive? What airport?
I wound up renting a car from Trenton Airport.
Oh, my God. And drove to Cleveland?
That's what I did.
When did you get there?
31 hours. Got there. I left the house Saturday morning and got there Sunday night.
Oh, my God. Well, Jason, at least you got there. So,
I got there.
Yeah. So what was the, tell me what the scene was like and, the home run derby and, the game was kind of a snoozer, but you've covered so many All-Star games. What do you look for when you go to an All-Star game?
Well, I mean, the two things that are my favorite things are that the derby has become one of the great shows in sports. I watched a guy hit 91 home runs in one night.
Yeah. He was pretty amazing. And Tyrone's a little cheesed that 91 did not win because of the format they had. What did you think? Was that unfair?
It's not fair, but the format makes it fun. The format has really energized the event. Head-to-head is great. The clock is great. All those things make it way more entertaining than it's ever been at any point. It's way more entertaining than the game. You know why? Because the Home Run Derby showcases the great talent of these hitters, and the game does the opposite.
Right? Yeah, it does. It showcases the pitchers. And nobody was complaining about the ball being juiced last night.
I missed the juice ball last night.
Yeah. all right, so let's talk about this home run contest. First of all, Vladdy Jr. Now, how does he get signed by the Toronto Blue Jays? Like, how do people miss him and Toronto gets him?
Oh, nobody missed him. He was this was a bidding war. Blue Jays won the bidding war. They scouted him. They targeted him. They had a big international pool that year. It all lined up for him.
Okay, so they paid the most money to get him.
Absolutely,
basically. Okay.
Yeah, that
works. I mean, he looks like he's just going to be a monster.
Yeah, like he got called up too soon. I think if they were being honest, they'd say that the media pressure got so intense that they had to call him up, and he wasn't ready. And he's shown that. He's still figuring out how to deal with big league pitching. But if you just look at his numbers in Double-A and Triple-A, he was better than his dad. And he hit more home runs in every round than his dad hit in the 200 home run derbies that he entered combined.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing show. And Jock Peterson, I felt bad for him because he had a chance to clip him on a couple final swings and didn't get it done. And Alonso winds up winning. Do you think that they will change the format in any way and make it cumulative? Because 91 is 91.
They got away from that. They love the head-to-head. I'm not sure exactly how they could change it.
Should they reseed it? Like, after the first round, they man a home run, then just recede. And then you might have had Jock Peterson going against Vladdy for the finals.
That's an idea, but I don't know how many Pete Alonso could have hit if he had to.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up in a really good draw where in the first two rounds, he won basically via walk-off. Didn't have to even use his extra time. Conserved a lot of energy, conserved a lot of swings. Sometimes it just works out that way. I don't care who wins. Of course, it's not me not winning $1 million, but it's not unusual for the biggest memory of the Derby to be a guy who didn't win it.
Yeah.
Josh Hamilton in Yankee Stadium in 2008. That's the prime example.
Yeah.
We don't remember who won.
Yeah, you're right. Let's talk about this ball thing, because you've been writing about it. Manfred says, the owners don't like the rising tide of dingers. And not only that, but we haven't juiced the ball, and anybody says so is lying. So what is the deal with this thing?
All right. I've spent a lot of time writing about this, talking about this, asking a lot of questions about this. And I really don't think that Rob Manfred woke up one morning a few years ago and said, well, we got to juice the ball. I really don't think that's what happened. I think this is a very unique process. Now, other people have used this analogy, but they make golf balls out of rubber and it's all made with machines and technology. And the baseball is being sewn by hand by women in Costa Rica, using all natural products. And it creates a lot of variables. The one thing I give them credit for is they haven't tried to pretend this year that it's not the ball. They know it is. They can't figure out exactly what happened. And here's the problem. They need to do more than figure out what happened. They have to figure out how to manufacture a ball and know what it's going to do before they realize that every home run record ever known to mankind is going to be broken.
But here's the thing. As a consumer, I don't care. I kind of like it.
Yeah, well,
why are we protecting the fans from something that they probably want?
I was going to ask that question yesterday, but I'd ask way too many. but you're watching the home run derby. I thought to myself, people love the home run. you don't want to take the home run out of the game. What you do want to do is add more action. And that's about more than the baseball. That's about trying to figure out a way to counteract all velocity in the sport. 95 and up, everybody throws 95 right. to 102.
Yes.
And I honestly think at some point, they could move the mound back if they could ever get the union.
Oh, my. This is like moving the rim up because there's too many dunks.
Well, how would you counteract velocity? Guys can't hit. Hitters, very few hitters, even great hitters, can handle this. What would you do about it?
I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't change baseball one iota. I've been on the record a million times. I think the game is perfect. I think guys throwing 95 to 100 is good. I think the bats being harder is good. I think the ball being juiced is fantastic. I love it.
I'm not a guy who says the game was better 20 years ago. I'm just not that guy. I think what the game needs is better rhythm, and basically more action, more people running around the bases and more.
Nice. You want to see balls in the gap. You want to see singles and doubles more.
I don't necessarily want to see more singles and doubles, but I do want to see. I want more to happen in these games than is currently happening. There's five singles a game. They always had that game, against the Braves, where they got six singles in the first inning.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like that's one night in the life of most teams, six singles.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think it's perfection. So,
I love the game. I've been talking me into that. That doesn't mean you can't tweak it.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Phillies. And now we have to get serious because they have to decide whether they can really go for it or whether they just can't make enough deals to make it happen. Where do you think they are right now? What do you expect to happen?
This is a big week, obviously. You're playing the Nationals, who are 28-11 over the last 6 weeks, and the Dodgers, who are the best team in the league and are just going to cruise like 110 wins. You got to survive this week. Going into it, 6.5 games out. I don't see how you could look at this team and be in go-for-it mode. But I also would be really surprised, barring just a complete meltdown, if they don't make deals. There's a lot of ways to do this. I don't think this is a team that it makes any sense to give up real prospects for rental players. But I do think it makes sense to look for controllable players, pieces you can put in place for next week. And because I had so much travel, I had such a travel debacle. I didn't get the futures game. I didn't get to see all the GMs and executives that go to that game. So I don't have that for you. But one thing I'm convinced after hanging around Cleveland for 2 days is Trevor Bauer is going to get traded. And ask yourself this. Would you trade, say, Zach Eflin and Jonas Medina and maybe another piece for Trevor Bauer with a year and a half controls all this year and all next year?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Now, is that what my question, I guess, did the Phillies have enough to make a deal like that? Like, is Adonis Medina?
I just made one for you.
Well, is Adonis Medina and Eflin enough to get Trevor Bauer?
I don't know. I think he's going to be what Chris Archer was last year. The Rays were on the way to winning 90 games and still traded Chris Archer and made an incredible deal for Austin Meadows, made the All-Star team, and a pitcher who was going to make the All-Star team. He was the best pitcher in the league in April, and a pitching prospect who is a monster, right? So that's the template here.
All right, so what you're saying is they can't get anybody of significance like him unless they trade an Adonis Medina.
To get a difference maker.
Yes, Medina's got to go.
I think so. And probably, if the Indians are going to need a big league ready starter back because they're going to want to still attempt to make the playoffs, they'd be in the playoffs if they started today.
Right.
So it's a tricky deal to make, but that's what I'm saying. Those are the kind of deals to look at if you're the Phillies.
I got you. Would they trade Bohm? Would they trade Bohm in a deal like that?
I don't see that. Okay. Because that's a position of need.
Okay. All right. So Medina may go if they're really serious.
I mean, it's got to be just the right guy. Just the right guy.
All right.
They've had so many pitching prospects go backward. So many prospects, period, who have gone backward this year for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. It's hurt their ability to make the big deal. They can still make smaller deals. As I've told you several times, they can make the Jay Bruce-type deals or the kind of deals they made last year for guys who just give them depth and flexibility and more maneuverability. But is that enough? How many starting pitchers do they need to trade for? Two? Three?
Probably.
Four?
Two, at least. yeah. All right. By the way, I did see the Futures game, and I wanted to get your opinion on this because I'm looking at this guy and I'm going, how in the world is he not in the big leagues? And that's the kid, the Blue Jays prospect, Nate, whatever his name is. Throws 101.
Yeah.
What's his last name?
I'm doing a
101 and 89-mile-an-hour slider. His walk-to-strikeout ratio is amazing.
Yeah, well, the Blue Jays are in no hurry, right, to bring all their guys up there. This is about timing the rebuild. Vlad and Craig Biggio's son are in the big leagues. Dante Bichette's kid is going to be great. He's been hurt, so they're taking their time with him. They've got all these guys coming. It's about timing. They're in no rush. They're going to lose 100 games.
Yeah, I get Nate Pearson is his name. That kid just popped off the screen. I'm going, how is he not in big league?
They got quite a system. Yeah. They got some guys. Wow.
All right, Jason, sorry you had some troubles, but good stuff as usual.
Okay, man, it was like living in a sitcom.
All right, man, take it easy. All right, well, by the way, when do you give your speech? What day will that be?
Okay, this is a week from Saturday, July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
hey, if, like I'm assuming there's going to be a bunch of Philadelphians coming up to Cooperstown for Roy Halladay, and please come to Double Day Field. Please, I would love to look out into that crowd and see a bunch of red shirts, see a bunch of friendly faces.
Got the speech written? All good?
It's written. We're still tinkering.
Tweaking it?
But yeah, it's written.
All right. Your first instinct is always your best. You know that when you write a story.
Well, it wasn't this time. I actually wrote a speech, tore it up, and started over. But
it's going to be spectacular.
We're good to go here, man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Jace. Hey, good luck to you. All right, man. There he is, Jason Stark. Inducted in the Hall of Fame for the J.G. Spink Award. And, of course, he's brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Why strike out with boring soda when you get hit a grand slam with Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks? Available at your neighborhood store. Everfresh, nature's refreshment. We identified the Phillies' three prospects. We talked about them the other day. Don Spadina, Howard, the pitcher, and
Boehm.
And Boehm. Boehm's off the table. Is one left, Medina. The other guy's hurt. They'll take Medina in a trade like that to get Bauer. You got to do it. If you're serious at all, and it might not be enough, but I think you have to take the chance on doing it. You're in the wild card projection number. You're letting your fans down if you don't do something like that.
Right, and they do still have a couple guys who could possibly play better in every day. If Harper has a great second half... Then and plus you get another pitcher, you got a chance.
If they all hit once, which they haven't done yet, and they get that kind of a pitcher for their rotation, now we're talking.
Oh, that Pearson guy's their number two prospect, actually.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, Bichette is their number one.
Well, Dante Bichette's kid is a hitter. Yeah,
he's the best pitching prospect that they have, but they have...
The
Blue Jays aren't going to be bad for long. If any of these, they have a lot of good prospects. Way better. Another team with a better farm system than the Phillies.
Yeah, but they, listen, I know they don't want to rush guys. You're not rushing a guy towards 101. Okay, that's not rushing. He belongs in the freaking big leagues. Let's go, Bob in Hanover. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Bob?
Not much. You threw me a curveball there with this Peter Frampton thing. But anyway, my first date with my wife was in 1976 at the largest concert ever performed in Philly at RFK. And
Frampton was huge.
Yeah.
I look at my calendar, it's 2019. I go, all right.
Yeah, it was.
He looks like
Gary
somebody's
Wright.
Grandpop.
It was Gary Wright, Peter Frampton, and yes.
Oh, there you go. Gary Wright. Is that Dreamweaver?
Yeah, it was Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver. I got
107,000 people. It was awesome. But anyway.
I got a trivia question for you. Before Peter Frampton was a solo artist, who was he the lead guitarist for?
Oh, man. I don't know, man.
Peter Frampton.
I went to see Yes. I was disappointed that Rick Wakeman wasn't playing keyboards. It was Patrick Mraz, but
isn't Rick Wakeman dead?
No,
he's still alive.
He was alive then, but he wasn't part of the band.
All right, go ahead. The answer to the question is Humble Pie. By the way, he was the lead guitarist for Humble Pie.
Just as a quick note, I'm sitting row 21 for the Rolling Stones. I'm going back.
If it floats your boat, fine. It doesn't do it. You know, the old acts, to me, I lived through them. I saw them. I can still appreciate the music. I don't have to go see them.
Yeah. All right. Now, all you misguided people out there that think the Phillies are going to finish above 500, you better get a grip, because that pitching staff is... How can you even think about not being sellers at the trade deadline, which is coming up? By the end of these next two series, we are going to be out of it completely. You got to get rid of the third baseman, the second baseman, and some of that junk in the bullpen and some of that pitching staff, and you got to look forward.
No, I disagree. The wild card is of reach. Did you see the projected totals for the wins? This is a down year for the wild card number. The Phillies are right in it.
Go back a year. We finished 80 and 82 last year. We were in first place for how long?
I don't know what your point. I'm what I'm telling you is they have an achievable win total that can get them in the playoffs. Why would you give up on that?
And what does that get you?
Who knows what it gets you? You get in the playoffs, who knows what could happen? Wouldn't you rather be in the playoffs than not?
No, not.
That's foolish. Why would you not want to be in the playoffs? It gives you more excitement. You just can't give up on a season where the win total for the wild card is going to be lower. Why would you be sellers? Now, unless you lose like 13 in a row here, then you give up. But they're not going to lose 13 in a row. They're still in it. Let's ride it. All right, one open line, 610-632-0975. It's still General Knowledge Wednesday. A correct answer will get you a pair of tickets to FanFest. So get on the line. This is a good chance to do it. The categories are easy today. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's get a Twitter poll update. It's brought to us by Bobby Moyer and Sons with Natalie Aganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,000 votes on this one today. Do you enjoy all-star games in general? 29% say yes, 71% say no. So it's down. The yes has gone down.
That's unbelievable.
71% don't like them.
Hmm. All right. Well, let me tell you about FanFest. Because everyone who gets a question correctly today on General Knowledge Wednesday wins FanFest tickets. It's presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Saturday, August 24th, Xfinity Live, 1 to 5 p.m. Tickets are free, but you have to get a ticket to get in. This is why we offer General Knowledge Wednesday. All of our Fanatic hosts will be on site. Special guests, Bikini Beach, Lamborghinis and Ferraris on display, two mobile escape rooms, golf simulator with a closest to the pin contest, Ron Jaworski golf putting green. One lucky listener is going to win a football trip to Miami, the away game Miami with the Cuz. Flight, hotel, cruise around Miami, pregame tailgate tickets all included. That's courtesy of PhillySportsTrips.com. We're also giving away a Wave Runner, courtesy of DHY Motorsports, 4-person, 30-foot rock wall, dunk tank, a 95-foot radical run obstacle course, Spider Mountain, a trip for four to Disney, that's right, and our FanFest band, the Zings. Our FanFest DJ, Mo Green, that's right. Baseball speed pitch, bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, wiffle ball challenge dome, high striker strongman challenge, outdoor air conditioned casino room with slot machines, roulette wheel, blackjack tables, all courtesy of Holland's True Value. More will be announced soon, and some of our FanFest partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army.
And thanks to our FanFest exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, online at turnersvillejeep.com. And DHY Motorsports, make summer funner on a Wave Runner. Shop DHY.com, the area leader for everything power sports.
All righty. By the way, you know what I thought was cool in the All-Star game last night? Didn't have much action, but I thought it was cool that they mic'd guys.
Yeah, they should do that more often.
But Joe Buck is having a conversation. This guy's supposed to concentrate on the pitch, right? And he's asking a question like during the pitch. And I'm thinking, well, is he aggravating these guys or what? Are they actually digging it?
I think that was aggravating.
Because Lindor, especially, his shortstop's got to be alert at all times, right?
Yes.
And he's like talking in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, they did it some in spring training, and I remember Mookie Betts, a ball guy hit, and he was talking. He was like, "Not gonna get to this one, guys." And over his head, and he was running the right field.
Lindor was great because he's chatterbox. So, Chabby, the ball in front of you, cut it off. And then all of a sudden he turned to the Spanish player in left field, and he talked Spanish to him. No olives en your arme.
They got to do that more often. That was, now that's something that wouldn't affect the game. I don't want the conversation back and forth. I'm saying just mic more guys.
Yeah.
The mics have gotten smaller. It won't affect how they play. Mic more guys. They should do that. That's something you can organically do.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Josh?
How you doing?
Good.
So earlier we were talking about Philly players with the Hall of Fame in like next 10 years or so.
Yep.
So I'm thinking Ben Simmons, if he develops just a mid-range jump shot, let's say, the next year or two, I believe he's got the chance in 10 years to definitely make the Hall of Fame.
Well, there's no question. But the million-dollar question is, will
he? I think he will, 100%.
You do think he will. Now, what gives you that indication?
I mean, he's still young. I believe he's gonna be able to do it.
The fact that he's still young means nothing to me. Because how old do you have to be to actually go through the physical act of shooting a basketball?
Yeah.
I mean, that starts at age 8. So he's 22. I got to go, wait, he's still 22. Come on.
No, I know, but I'm with Tyrone on this, man.
Well, I know you are. Hey, maybe you got the Tyrone wishing globe. I love Ben Simmons. I'm not so sure that we're going to see the jump shot is even as soon as next year.
I think we will.
I hope you're right, dude.
I think he's going to have the confidence. I don't know.
I hope you're right. God, I am praying that you're right.
The East is not like it is last year, too. I mean, I think he's going to have the confidence.
I hope so. I know. Is he going to go to the confidence store? Where's he going to go for it? The Nordstrom's have a confidence department?
No, and then I'm still on Embiid. I honestly don't think his body can withstand the next 10 years.
All right, so you're saying Simmons over the next 10 years, a burgeoning and career, Embiid going to be cut short because of the injury factor. All right.
Yeah, I think he's just not going to be able to do it.
I got you. All right, here's a chance. You go to Fan Fest.
Okay, thank you.
General knowledge question. Besides Ireland, what country is geographically closest to the UK?
Oh, God. Besides Ireland.
Well, you should be able to get this. This is a fairly easy question.
I'm shooting a blank. I don't know.
Oh, man. It's disheartening. Since it was just on TV for a couple of weeks. Francais.
You can literally get there via train. It goes over the channel.
That is correct. Have you been over the channel? Francais?
No. I never had the dough and the time at the same time.
Have you been to Europe?
No.
Do you plan?
I would like to at some point.
No, my wife is very important that we get over there.
If you go to Europe, where would you go? What would be the first choice of Europe?
We are going, my wife would like to go to London and Barcelona.
It's a good choice.
I want to go to Paris.
You want to go where?
Paris.
Oh, Paris.
Yes, Paris.
Huh.
I love Paris.
And then Italy.
I'll get there.
Italy's third only because the flight is slightly longer.
Hey, what is it, 6 hours?
Yeah, it's like an extra hour. Well, we won't, radio, you don't get 2 weeks off, so we're going.
I get you. See, any flight, like after you do a flight to India, 23 hours, every flight is like, you're like swinging the heavy bat in the on deck circle and you come up and it feels lighter.
No, my longest flight is to Seattle, so.
That's pretty long.
That was
a
long
flight. A flight within America that's that long is annoying.
It was annoying.
Yeah.
Like you can get a little more patient if you're going over to Pond.
Yeah, probably.
All right, let's go AJ in West Philly. AJ, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. AJ.
What up, Big Mike?
What's going on, AJ? How you doing?
Yo, I was still tripping off when y'all was talking about the alcohol that's good to drink.
Yeah.
You got to try that cognac mixed with cranberry on ice.
Well, see, you're mixing it. See, cognac, like if you're drinking Louis cognac, that's a smooth taste. Or Remy XO.
Henny
is not that pleasant. I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it's not like... You got to go, like, to that level with cognac, it's got to be a really good cognac that tastes really good.
Look, that Cruzan rum, all different types of flavors. I don't drink no chaser with it. Just ice.
But you're drinking flavored liquor.
But you're talking
cognac mixed with cranberry.
Well, I'm going to drink something, Mike, that tastes good, and you know the
That was my whole question. Liquor on its own, does it really taste good?
we did them to the ones that taste good. But I got to get you, because I ain't talked to you in a while. Look, y'all got to get off my man Tyrone with Club Tyrone. I think it's a great thing to do. It'd be so easy to say Andre Diller is in my crew. He's a number, a first-round draft pick. No, you got to get the diamonds in the rough. And Tyrone said it again today. We're going to need a diamond in the rough to step up so we can get some of these teams to win some championships, man. And that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, but the guys he selects for Club Tyrone are like, you know, I was like, I don't know. It's like a cat you find on the street, and you take him home and you give him food.
If he would have picked the guy, what's that? Remember we had that tackle that was in the service? He ended up starting for Pittsburgh.
He wasn't in Club Tyrone. Currently in Club Tyrone is Jordan Mailata.
Yep, Mailata.
Well, we'll see about Mailata. Shay, how's Shay looking?
Look, I like his prospects, his chances coming up. My man Bolden. We need these players to be key guys.
Bolden? You haven't seen enough? How much do you have to see a Bolden? Come on, man.
Now, look, when it comes to these players, I honestly believe in my heart that Simmons and Embiid are going to win. The Sixers is going to win the next four championships in a row. Right now, the Warriors won.
Listen, man, they're not going four in a row.
I got them winning four in a row, baby.
You're like getting ready to open Club Tyrone too. All right,
man. I wish.
All right, man. Let me give you a general knowledge question, bro.
I already got fantasy.
Oh, you got tickets? All right, quickly.
I had a question for you.
Quick.
Did you see the Miami Dolphins player that was fighting the cop?
No, I missed that.
I want you to look that up, man. Yo, the brother didn't get pulled over. Imagine you going to Wawa. You go in the Wawa to get your coffee, and then the cop questions you. That's the type of stuff we be facing, right?
No, I hear you. I didn't hear about the case. I mean, you know me. If I heard about the case, I would have talked about it. Any kind of justice I talk about. What happened? I didn't hear this.
I'm not familiar with this case.
You went to a Wawa? They're in Florida.
They have a few in Florida now. So, I'm not familiar. We'll have to talk about it a little later.
By the way, a columnist ripped Wawa the other day. A local guy.
Yeah.
We'll hit that on the other side. Are you that bored? You write a column like that? All right, we'll talk about that on the other side. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
4:46, Mike Missinelli Show. We had Hembo on a little earlier, right? So Jason Starr came on and said he wants to see more action. And Hembo counters with a Hembo stat.
Okay.
And he must have been listening. He says hitters are making better contact than ever before. In fact, if you throw away strikeouts, the lead batting average is .338, on pace to be the highest mark in a season in Major League history. So they are putting the ball in play.
No, well, he said if you take out strikeouts, there's a ton of strikeouts. Like, that's what he's saying. There's so many strikeouts. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really counter Jason's point.
But it's still an interesting point. They're making better or more effective contact.
Yeah, these guys.
So an out is an out, whether it's a strikeout or not. They're still making more contact.
Right, but they're making more contact. They're making better contact when they don't strike out. They're still striking out at a record pace. So you're getting less total balls in play.
Just getting a strike better balls. Ground ball to shortstop. Is a ground ball to shortstop more exciting?
To me, it is. Yes.
Is it?
Yeah, because you have to make a play, and if especially when it's my team, I love a strikeout, and they're exciting. But yeah, a defensive play is more exciting. Yeah.
All right. I'm talking about an average play. Like a great defensive play, obviously, is exciting.
Play is better than a guy not taking his bat off his shoulder.
A shift ground ball, is that exciting?
No.
Never gets thrown.
I mean, if you just wanted action and you can't do it, you would just eliminate the shift and then you get tons of action. I'd rather do that. If it's move the mound or eliminate the shift, I'd rather eliminate the shift. Leave the mound where it is.
You can't move the mound.
I agree. I'm saying if it's one or the other, I say take away the shift before I would take away move the mound. I don't think that would be. I don't like that at all. Don't lower it. Don't just leave the mound. Just leave the mound.
You throw 95 or more, you can't go to the big leagues. Only 90 to 95. There's a governor on how hard you can throw.
It's like a restrictor plate, like a NASCAR.
Yeah, restricted plate.
On the arm.
Restricted plate, yeah. So let me just touch on this little thing. So what was it, last week?
It was over the weekend.
It was a column in the Inquirer, and I believe it was Mike Sielski.
It was.
And he was saying that Wawa is overrated and blah, blah, blah. Now, I don't know what motivates somebody to write a story like that. And he's making the case you can get a better hoagie. So, well, of course you can get a better hoagie at a hoagie craft place like a deli or a Primo or something. There's going to be a better hoagie. But Wawa, what Wawa represents is comfort. It's a place to get quick comfort. Whether it's a sandwich, whether you go in, you grab a banana or a pretzel or
a coffee.
Well, like I know every time that I'm driving and I see a Wawa, I am tempted to pull in whether I have to or not.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
It gives you that effect. Like the other day, I see a Wawa, I go, mashed potatoes.
Boom.
Mm. And I go, I had to have mashed potatoes. Well, it's like it drew me in as just like a comfort place.
Yeah.
Like, how do you rip a place like that?
Well, I think it's because there's a lot of fanfare around the Wawa hoagie, and I think that's what he was saying. Like, there shouldn't be this much fanfare.
The Wawa hoagie is not spectacular. Was his point?
Right.
And my
and I know it's a basic hoagie, but it's a good sandwich. It's not as great as some Italian deli would craft for you. But that's not really the point. The point is, it's quick, it's comfortable, it's a good feeling, it has the screen, it's got a lot of features that give you comfort.
Absolutely. The lines move pretty quick. You have a milkshake machine on the side now, you get an icy,
exactly.
You get something to drink. So what the delis don't provide is all that other stuff. You go into a Wawa, you can get a dozen eggs. You can do a lot of stuff in the Wawa that's specific to the Wawa.
It's not claiming to be the world's greatest hoagie.
I've been getting the same.
It's claiming to be the comfort food capital of here and now down the Eastern Seaboard.
I've been getting the same Wawa hoagie since 2005.
Really? What's your go-to?
All right, I get the honey smoked turkey. It's weird. It's weird. Yeah. I get American cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, and then I put the buffalo blue cheese spread on it, and it's really good.
Yeah.
Same one.
I don't know. I went cheesesteak macaroni and cheese the other day.
Now, a lot of people say that the Wawa cheesesteak is a violation. Yeah. I got into a big Twitter war with people over this.
It's a semi-violation. But the fragmented meat within the macaroni and cheese was very satisfying.
Oh, the cheesesteak macaroni and cheese?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I didn't even know that they had that.
They put the steak topping on the macaroni and cheese.
I hear it's fantastic.
I love the...
You don't eat meat. But they can put the meatballs on top of macaroni and cheese. They can put anything on the top of the macaroni and cheese.
I'm obsessed with the turkey bowls, too.
The meatball at the Wawa, the meatball is underrated. I actually like that sandwich. I used to like that sandwich.
Meatball.
Quick.
Meatball Sambo?
Meatball is not...
You get in and out,
meatball
Mike.
Meatball is not overrated.
It's
not overrated.
It's underrated.
It's not underrated.
It is.
No, it's not.
The meatball sandwich
it's
at Wawa?
Quick. You get in and out. It's done well.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was bored during the All-Star game last night, and I made myself a batch of meatballs.
Oh, there you go.
I mixed the meat and stored it, and then this morning made the meatballs with a nice marinara.
Mm. Oh,
I did that this morning.
That's nice.
I didn't eat it. I just did it.
Now you can eat it tonight.
I can probably eat it tonight.
Eat it tomorrow.
Yes.
A nice meatball. If somebody happens to stop by, hey, you want a meatball?
My meatball formula is unbeatable.
I don't know if you've ever given us your meatball. I know we got your sauce.
Soft and tender and just, you know.
It's better than in the prison in Goodfellas?
Yes. Much better. Ted Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ted.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
What's up, Ted?
All last week, I was trying to get through to you with these conversations about Ben and his jump shot and the Sixers and all this stuff.
Yep.
And I think, AJ, your call before me almost stole my thunder. I got the Sixers, like, in four championship finals. Let me tell you how.
Okay.
Okay. Harris is coming back. Harris is going to get 3 to 5 points more per game average.
Okay.
You take Horford or you take Richardson, and you play them at the playground against Jimmy and JJ, and you got two winners in Josh and Al. So you got an upgrade there of, I don't know what, 5 to 10%, in my opinion. I don't care if Ben, I would like to see Ben come with a jump shot, absolutely. Do I care if he does? No, because my winning formula is you put Embiid in a 15-foot radius of the basket on both ends of the court, as you did with Chamberlain or Russell, and you've got a championship team. All you need is maybe one sniper off the bench.
I'm agreeing with you that they're a good team. Now, the only thing I disagree with, it's really difficult to win 4 championships in a row.
Okay, I agree. I know that's the only thing
I balked at. You're saying they get to 4 NBA finals in a row is what you're saying.
Right, they get to 4
That's
NBA
very possible.
Finals.
Very possible.
Yeah, I really believe that. Even with KD coming back at the next year, they're a year out.
No, I agree with that, because you never know, like, how it's not going to be the same KD, maybe.
Right, but the point is, I think, again, Ben, I don't think he's going to have it. You've got a jump shot, you've got it when you're 15 years old.
Yeah, so you're saying he's never going to have it.
He's never going to have it.
Well, that's problematic for me.
Yeah,
But anyway, it's not problematic for you. That's good. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question.
Okay.
All right, this is starting NBA championship lineups. All right, the 2008 Celtics, of course, had the big three. Ray Allen, KG, Paul Pierce. Give me one of the two remaining starters.
Parrish.
No, not in 2008, bro. That was way back when. You got the two starters, Tyrone?
You got Rondo at the point.
That's correct.
And Perkins at center.
That's right. Kendrick Perkins was the center. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show is back after this with the big 5 o'clock hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.